Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Every Other Tuesday Night Open Call. And obviously, this is the week. This is the open call. We're not closed. Actually, you can come and join us, and probably have if you're hearing my voice. I hope everybody's had a good couple weeks. It's been interesting around the country, to say the least. And Jesse was just talking about something that I wasn't even aware of, somebody locally that's doing some work to out the scoundrels. Is that a nice way of putting it?
Yeah. Let me tell you, well, before we get rolling, let me do this disclaimer real quick. So it's out of our hair. We don't have to interrupt it again. Guys, welcome to our Tuesday night, every other night call. This is Jesse. We thank you here. I got a feeling, guys, that this call is going to get a lot busier in the next few weeks as these foreclosure stops list state by state. I don't know if you saw that day. But anyway, if you are here, again, seeking legal advice, guys, we advise that you hang up and run directly to the internet or a phone book, however you can find the information for attorneys. Call them. Those guys will give you legal advice. We're here to just discuss our situations, how we handle them, and the outcomes of our cases, and what's going on in society today as general, whether it be case law, this COVID-19 nonsense, all the things that we are going to discuss tonight. But again, none of this should be considered or taken as legal advice that is not intended to. So with that being said, Dave, there is a doctor. It's a female, God bless her, probably in her 40s, late 40s, early 50s, who has treated a bunch of COVID patients right there in your home city and has had zero issues. Recovery, 24 to 48 hours, 100%. And so she said, the CDC doesn't give doctors any guidance on how to treat it. Doctors have been told to just send patients home, okay? Send them home. Do not treat them. Don't even let them in your office. Send them home if they have any CDC or coronavirus symptoms that you can see. So there's no treatment, okay? They've never given any physicians any guidance. There's no medication. There's nothing. So she said the only thing I can listen to was the French doctors who tried, 2 months ago, that report came out where they were having success with the hydrochloroquine. And the Z-Packs, and so she said, you know, I wrote that down, and the president come out talking about it. And so, you know, she says, so I just started trying it. I asked some of the patients that came into my office. She says, I'm here as a physician. I took a oath to help people and when they're sick. Not when they're not sick, but when they're sick and they need me. Unlike these other, she says, these other doctors ought to be ashamed of themselves trying to work through a computer instead of seeing people face-to-face. But anyway, it's a 15 or 20 minute speech she gave, and she talks about how there's no guidance, and then the only guidance that they were told is send them home, tell them to quarantine. So now you got a fever, you got all these symptoms, they don't want to give you anything, just go home. So she says, I tried the hydrochloroquine and the Z-Pak, and the first patient who was, I think, 33 years old, within 24 hours was symptom free. So the next patient was 50-something, 24 hours, symptom-free. So after about 18 or 19, she says to these patients, my phone rings, and it's the pharmacist. And the pharmacist says, I need to have a diagnosis or I cannot fulfill these prescriptions. And she said, you just fill the pills or the bottles full of pills. That's your job. My job is to determine what my patient needs. You're not a doctor. I am. Flat out. And he says, well, unless I get a diagnosis, she says, that's against HIPAA laws. I cannot tell you. That is confidential information. And the pharmacist told her flat out, we were told by the Pharmacists Association of America that we cannot fill a hydrochloroquine or Z-Pak without a diagnosis from the doctor. So our own health organization are telling them to violate our own HIPAA laws. And these dumbasses are doing it. So she says it's easy. Now I just tell them it's diabetes, it's hypertension, whatever the hell they want to hear. But she says, I'm having 100% success rate curing, not treating, curing this. And they keep shutting me down. Every time I put up a video on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, they take it down. Why do they keep shutting me down? Why don't they want America to know that for $13 you got a fix? What's going on here? She went on and on, Dave. I'm trying to get emailed to you so you can watch it. And Terry.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
Facebook,
if you could email a link or something.
Jesse.
Yeah,
Jesse, there was a video sent to me by someone who sends me stuff every single night, but I sent it to Dave. Dave probably didn't get a chance to watch it yet because it was just a little while ago. And I do intend to share it on Thursday night with all of my list after my call. But it's very, very important that everybody watch that video, especially all the way to the end. You've got to hear what the guy is talking about in regard to the waiting in the wings vaccine.
Yeah.
This guy is The View. He is his radio show is out of Europe. His name is Ole Dumgaard, which sounds like a Scandinavian name, but he's located in southern Spain. And it's a view of what's going on globally, and especially what the United States had to do with it. And it's all, you know, like socialized with the UN and the WHO, NIH, all that, Bilderbergs, and so on and so forth. Anyway, there was a massive, exact, and I do mean exact, with capital great big letters, simulation of this exact rollout of this plandemic last October, all the way down.
It's called 224 or something like that. Project 224.
Yeah. Right. 204. Anyway, 204, all the way down, all the way down to the maps that they are using, that you see them using it on the TV, showing where the outbreaks are and so on and so forth across the world and the United States, and everything is in red. Well, what they're doing is, if there is one case in an area, they land the entire area or the entire state as a hot spot, okay? Now, the guy who created the map, not for that purpose, okay, this was his model map. He's some kind of scientist that he was working on something else. And they took his map and adapted it to this plandemic scam. And the guy has, he's an undercover exposer. His story is absolutely incredible. And I just, you know, to hear what he had to say, that many of us either suspected or already knew, from a completely outside view. He's not American. He's never been American. He speaks absolutely beautiful, fluent English, but I suspect he speaks several languages. But it's so incredible to hear it from across the pond and what's going on over there and all their false flags that he proved were using crisis actors. Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
You're going to want to see that video, and I am going to send tonight, Jeff. Okay.
You're fading out, Terry.
I was just following my private
Terry, we're not hearing you.
That he does. Oops.
Terry? Terry, we haven't been hearing what you're saying.
Okay. The other thing I was going to point out, my Bluetooth crapped on me there for a second. was his professionalism, the background on his show is so soothing and beautiful and professionally done. It's a show called, something on Light on Conspiracies. And I went ahead and subscribed to it because I want to follow this guy's work. It was just absolutely amazing to be able to tap into the European view and how what's happening here is happening everywhere almost to the absolute detail.
Well, yeah, there's a lot that's starting to get exposed, and there's starting to be more and more pushback. The good news that I got today was that the Texas Attorney General came down on that jerk Gestapo judge in Dallas County that said everybody had to wear a mask.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the AG says Dallas County can't require people to wear masks. There are four areas in which the county's order conflicts with Abbott, who is the governor, his order, according to the letter. Those are limitations to church services, what defines an essential business, ordering people to wear masks, and requiring residents to shelter in place.
Whoa.
In other words, the AG came right down on the county judge and said, you went way too far, and you're going to back off right now. So
you go, Governor Abbott, and what's the name of your AG? I forgot his name.
Ken Paxton.
Paxton. Abbott and Paxton. Yeah, go.
Yeah, but here again, you guys, I'm in Texas, and I mean, this is a liberty-loving state. Make no mistake about that. But, there's so much stuff going on. I've sent some information out to various people. Terry, I have not had a chance to watch that because, like you said, I got it just a little bit ago, and I haven't even gotten through all my emails. But
I didn't think you would have watched it yet.
Yeah, well, I haven't worn a mask yet, and I went to Dallas County last Friday, and I had a 10-minute weight loss session, and I lost about 8 pounds. I got a haircut. And I did it without a mask. And there were other people in the place where I go, the salon, that didn't have masks on either, including one of the stylists. And the gal down here, the stylist in Texas, that got thrown in jail, and the governor came to her rescue, and the Supreme Court here came to her rescue because they sicked the police on them. This judge actually created all this, and then she was hauled in front of another judge and fined $7,000 and thrown in jail. And the governor says, oh, no, you don't. And the Supreme Court says, oh, no, you don't. Well, her salon's a mile and a half south of me. It's just right. I could walk down there. So when I get a chance, I'm going to stop down by there and pop my head in and see Shelley Luther, which is her name, and I'm going to give her a good thumbs up and a thank you. But
well,
they
Dave.
Well, I was, let me just say the one last thing, Terry. The beautiful part about this is for everybody to know, she had a guy that started a GoFundMe page to help her out because she incurred $10,000 in legal expenses the first week she had her place open because they were harassing her. That fund was closed down days ago, and people had donated over $500,000, and most of the donations were $20 and $25. There was some in there for $100. I saw a couple for $200. but most of them were either $20 or $25, and there was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. I couldn't even look at them all. There were too many.
You know, Dave, that's a testimony to where the people stand.
Right.
No, it's going that way all over the country.
It doesn't matter one bit where the government stands. We don't care anymore.
Nope.
That, you know, that's where the people stand. And this Miss Luther, she was attacked because, and this was so completely wrong, she did apply for unemployment and the small. And during all this.
Terry, you're we're losing you again.
All of a sudden, $18,000 was dumped into her account. From the
Terry.
Okay.
Terry.
She didn't know what kind of the small business
loan
was. There was no explanation, no instruction to it.
Yeah.
And as she pointed out, everybody, oh, here goes this stupid thing again. As
we haven't been able to hear what you've been saying.
Okay. The money showed up in her bank account, this $18,000 from the government. With absolutely no explanation. She didn't know which small business, or even if it was small business loan she had applied for, or whatever. There were no instructions, no limitations, no guidance. And she was afraid to touch it because, as she pointed out, all of those stylists that work at her salon don't work for her. They're not her employers. Or employees, they rent space from her. So they're independent contractors as far as the law is concerned. I hear a lot of static. Are you hearing that?
No, the only one having trouble is you, Terry, I believe. You disappear and you come back and we can't hear you.
It's my Bluetooth. I'll put it on speaker instead.
Anyway.
Take that.
So she couldn't spend it because she said all of those small business loans that the government is now giving out have a very strict guideline of what you're allowed to do with the money, how you can spend it, et cetera. And she didn't want to end up in trouble and end up with more debt than she's already got. So she didn't touch it until she could get some information and clarification from the government as to which loan it was, what the parameters and instructions were, etc. Now, the news, the mainstream media, is just excoriating her for doing this selfish thing that she supposedly did to feed her family, when the government gave her $18,000 and she already applied for unemployment. Well, first of all, she's not going to get unemployment, except she may get that $600. I don't know, because she doesn't work for someone else. You know, it's
right.
Not like a job. So that's problematic right there. The mainstream media, if that's where you're getting your news, I beg you to stop. Because you are not being told anything within 100 miles of the truth, even on Fox.
No.
Well, Fox went down the tube when they hired Donna Brazile.
Agreed.
It was obvious. When they bring somebody like Donna Brazile on, you know, just forget it. They're done.
Well, listen, so basically this is how it works, Terry. You know I own two businesses. So the PPP loans, which is the unemployment type of loans, which is your payment or your retention for payroll. So it's payroll protection plan is what they call it officially. And we just call them PPP loans. It's three Ps. That has to be repaid if you don't use 75% of it at least for payroll, either to maintain payroll, to rehire people, or to new hire. So you have to bring in new people or you have to maintain what you have, or you have to rehire people. But if you rehire, so like I laid off two guys, those guys are collecting $600 a week. Okay? They weren't even making that much working for me. And they're making $600 a week.
My husband is making twice what he normally makes on unemployment.
Well, I'm explaining it to you. So, for instance, those guys would have gotten 60 to 80% of their normal salary under unemployment, okay? So not only did they get that, but they got the $600. So one of them's making like $830-something, the other one's making $850-something a week. So now I'm going to call Terry back. Think about this. I get my PPP loan. I call Terry and say, hey, Terry, I need you to come back for your $550 a week. not for 6 or 7 more weeks. Why? Well, I'm making $850 a week now. Why would I go back to you?
Right.
See?
But
so as an owner, I'm not entitled to collect.
But
okay,
if they refuse and quit, that's the same as quitting. So then they
wouldn't qualify
for unemployment.
That's up to me, right? So now it's up to me to either make the offer or not make the offer. You get me? It has to be in writing. So if I know the guy, this is the easy way around all this stuff. So I know the guy. I know Terry. She's a friend of mine. She worked with me for 10 years. Well, Terry, I'm not going to put it in writing. You keep collecting your money. I'm going to hire myself as an employee. Instead of an owner, now I'm going to put myself on payroll. And I'm going to take 100% of that money over the next 8 weeks. I'm going to show that it was in payroll for a new hire, me. I've never been on payroll. I'm going to take 100% of that money, and I'm going to show it to my banker, and he's going to forgive it. That's the way around it. That's what everybody
he's going to
every
what?
Business owner I know that got it. Okay, so as a business owner, for instance, one of my business, I've never, ever taken a nickel from one of my businesses. Never. 5 years, never taken a single red cent. So I had to lay off two guys. So this time I thought for a minute, you know what? I'm going to hire myself. I'm not going to hire anybody else. I'm the owner of the business. I'm going to put myself on because I got to take control during these hard times. So I get a PPP loan for X, whatever the hell it was. Well, I'm going to pay myself. You got to use it all 8 weeks. It's got to be used in 8 weeks, all of it. So I'm going to use 100% of it towards payroll. I call my payroll company. I put myself on payroll. All I do is take that money and divide it by 8 weeks, write myself a check. They write me a check every week for 8 weeks, eat up the money. I walk into my banker with my payroll reports after 2.5 months. And I say, look, 100% of that money plus employer contribution that wasn't was put to payroll. They have to forgive it. That's how that works.
Ah.
You see? Yeah. So there's a million ways around it. The SBA stuff, listen, I was one of the few guys, one of my buddies owns a, I want to say $50 to $60 million a year company here in Central Florida. He's a good, good fishing buddy of mine. And he said to me, you're the only guy I know that got an SBA loan, a Florida Disaster Relief loan, and a PPP loan. You know why I got all three for my business? Minority owned, number one. And number two, the day it opened, I applied at 9 o'clock in the morning as soon as it opened. I didn't linger. I didn't wait around. I didn't have to ask a million people. I knew exactly what I needed to go do. I applied. I got all three. I'm done. He says, I can't believe you're the only guy I know. And he owns a payroll company. He's got thousands of businesses he supplies. And he says, they're all dying. He says, how the hell did you pull that shit off? And I'm waiting for a grant. There's one that I applied for. It's a grant that will probably be given to me in June. Now you don't have to pay back. So, you know, the disaster relief loans, see, we remember we were shut down, like I said, in March, first week of March, at the middle of the New Orleans show, the second day in, we were shut down. So we lost all of the month of March, two shows a week, not one, two. So that's 8 shows plus half of April. We lost, I can't tell you how much money. High six figures in sales that we didn't get. So it was perfect for me to apply. Say, here, I need a bridge loan. So the Florida State, Florida gives you a bridge loan. The SBA gives you a small loan, which is also a bridge loan, but none of them have to be repaid for 2 years. And no interest, by the way. And then the PPP loan, that's completely a write-off. 100%. Forgiven. Trust me, I know this shit in and out. I can breathe it. Just like anything else with FDCPA or anything else. I know this crap. When I know something, I know it. Trust me, I know it.
Well,
so,
Jesse,
been there, I'm living it.
I appreciate so much that you're sharing what you're sharing at the moment, because I'm quite sure that the listeners on Tuesday night call and definitely on Thursday night who listen to the replay, some of them are business owners and they don't have that, you know, savvy and insight information that you're sharing right now. It's so important.
It's not inside. I just keep up with things. You know, it's public. Yeah, it's public. It's not inside. It's public. I'm just a business person, and you guys have known me for 10 years. I'm always a business person. Yes, it's always.
No, I meant inside your situation, your business.
Yeah.
And so
I had to. I didn't have a choice. We lost a pile of money. I mean a pile of money. You know,
because I know there's local small business owners here who are just having to shut down, you know, and I can give them the playback and say, go listen to this call, and my good friend Jesse explained to you how to deal with all this.
Yeah, and then the other thing that really aggravates me is the payroll protection, the PPP loans. The damn Catholic Church applied for 12,000 of them and got 9,000 loans. The Catholic Church, the richest organization ever to exist on the earth.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church. They applied
and
for 12,000 loans and got 9,000 of them.
Yeah. And whose operators, meaning the priests and the nuns, et cetera, have to take an oath of poverty. They don't get any of it.
They drive around their Cadillac. Yeah, listen,
exactly.
I went to Catholic school my whole life, and every bishop and every nun and every priest in there had a freaking nice car and a nice place to stay. I don't hear that BS. So,
exactly.
You know.
Well, anyway, we know there's a little bit of, should I say, hanky-panky going on out here with what's going on. I hope everybody that's listening to this, we've got a lot of good people that listen to our calls that are pretty sharp, but, you know, sometimes we get new people on that maybe aren't as informed about world affairs and agendas and stuff. I hope those people, if there's anybody that listens to this, will really get busy and start researching, because there's an awful lot for you to learn out there. Things are not what they seem to be, and the last thing you want to do is listen to the mainstream media. I've mentioned before on these calls, and I'll tell you again right now, I haven't had my TV on for 8 years other than when we have severe weather here in Dallas, so I can watch the, you know, most up-to-date radar so I don't get blown off the face of the map, hopefully. Or I think I've watched 2 football games in the last 8 years. Don't listen to it. It's propaganda, just like what happened with Meet the Press this weekend with Attorney General Barr. And if you don't know what's going on with that, go Google it and learn what they did to the interview with Bill Barr. That gives you an idea of how crooked the media is today. So don't pay any attention to it.
Programming. Right, Dave?
Well,
there is a reason. There is a reason that it is called television, and what is on television is programming. Words mean everything, and they're right in your face with it. You need to pay attention.
Yep. So, anyway, like I said, I told you what my good news was for the last month. I've been going north to Collin County, where you weren't required to wear a mask. I've been doing my banking and grocery shopping and FedEx shipping up there. Now I can go back south a half a mile to FedEx instead of driving 6 miles each way to do it like I have been. So
There you
and
go.
If anybody gives me any grief, tell them to go talk to Ken Paxton, the Attorney General. He'll straighten them out. So.
Yeah.
And you know what else?
Yeah, it's all. I sent you that video, guys, just so you know it's in your box, okay? I found it. I got
okay.
the link.
Thank you, Jesse.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And as you know, everybody, I'm in the middle of moving again, only it's very different this time because it's only three miles away. So I'm doing all kinds of trips back and forth, you know, load up my truck, go put things away, empty the bins, come back. And yeah, I can do it at my leisure because I've got until the end of the month to get moved. But that means that every time I make a trip over to the new house, I pass the hospital and the clinics and the area over there where the house is. There is one Dollar General, a gas station, a mini mart, and everything else is a health care facility. They, including the one and only large hospital we have, every single time I pass all of those facilities, including the large hospital, the clinics, everything, several times every day, they are empty. There are no cars in the parking lots, not employees, not patients, nobody. Then it's quiet. There's no ambulances going that you can hear. The only siren you're going to hear is a sheriff pulling somebody over for speeding or whatever. And we're under the stay-at-home orders along with the rest of the state. But we don't. We go about our lives, and we get done with what we've got to get done. We got maybe 20% of the people are COVIDiots wearing their masks in Walmart. And a lot of businesses are shut down needlessly because that's not the agenda. The agenda doesn't have anything to do with a virus. So that's just an update on our local hospitals and medical facilities. Ghost town.
Yeah, and by comparison here in Dallas County, I looked up some statistics the other day. I couldn't believe it when I got to it. Dallas County, Texas, has a population of 2.636 million. That's a pretty substantial number. So far, there's been just over 4,000 cases diagnosed with COVID-19. Just over 4,000 out of 2.6 million, and there have been 144 deaths out of 2.6 million. But everybody has been wearing masks at the order of a county judge for weeks.
And how many of those deaths were not even related to COVID? We don't know that.
The majority. Have all been older people, and the three deaths, these figures were as of last Thursday, the three deaths the day before that they reported on, one gentleman, 65 years old, that had been ill, and two 80-some-year-old men that had been in critical condition in the hospital. Those were the three fatalities, but everybody had to wear
exactly.
So.
I'm chuckling. Listen to me. I'm chuckling because the doctor on the video that I sent you specifically says this. She says, this is the way they report these numbers to you. 24 or 27,000 positive COVID cases in Dallas County. 3,000 have recovered and 116 deaths. So really the numbers are 3,000 people actually had treatment, 24,000 people basically blew it off, like blew their nose and out it went, and there was 116 deaths. That's 27,000 people got it, and 27,000 people lived, and 116 died. That's the way it should be reported. But instead, so, you know, they break this all up to confuse the public.
Of course.
And she explains
it very well.
That's the
agenda. They got to keep the fear factor going. That's what's behind the whole thing is the fear.
Yeah.
The building.
LA is
and it's
talking
a
about
run.
Staying closed. Yeah, staying closed till August, Los Angeles is.
Yeah, I
and
saw that.
And people are saying, no way. No way.
Yeah, that, all hell is going to break loose out there.
Back. Yeah. Well, Musk started, you know, his company back on Tesla's back up and running, didn't give a crap.
Yeah. And he said he's seriously considering moving their corporate headquarters to either Texas or Nevada.
Yeah.
Get out of California.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep.
People are fed up. Yeah, people are fed up. And, you know, you try keeping those people under the thumb that long out in California and see what happens. There's going to be bloodshed out in California.
Well, did you hear latest proposal of $5,000 to everybody in the United States? And then when you retire, those of you that are going to collect Social Security will pay it from their first payment of Social Security. You hear about
it? Pay it back?
Yeah, that was on MSNBC this morning. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well,
hell no.
Consider the source, Jesse.
Yeah, well, no, but these are
MSNBC?
What the Democrats are talking about. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's literally what the Democrats are talking about. That was one of their proposals.
Yeah.
Give everybody $5,000 now, and that means our kids and our grandkids that are alive now, when they go to retire, their first $5,000 of Social Security, which ain't going to exist anyway by then, is going to be gone.
Right.
So they're going to pay it back. You know, I just, whatever. I mean, this is the most ridiculous crap I think I've ever heard in my life. So it is what it is.
Yep. Well, anyway, I suppose we better check and see if we've got some people out here with any good news they want to share with us, because we're here to have good news and questions. So if anybody has any good news or a question, we'll just throw everybody in the same bin. Hit the one key on the keypad on your phone that will put you in the queue to ask your question or give us your stupid lawyer moment or your good news that you may have. But don't wait till later. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, when we run out of people with their hand up, we're going to say sayonara and we're going to be gone for the evening. So if you've got something that you want to share with us or a question, now's the time to put yourself in the queue and then pay attention to when we call on you. So with that said, we're going to go to 201 for our first caller. Good evening. You're unmuted. Go ahead. Hello, 201.
Hello. Yes.
Go
hi.
Ahead.
This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
This is Kim. Hi, Dave. Hi, everyone. And I have LeGrand here.
How you doing, Kim?
And I have Martin here. We're all here together on the table. Oh, thank you for all the good news.
Are you social distancing, Kim?
No,
are you at least 6 feet
social
apart? Have you got your masks on?
No.
Am I supposed to report you to somebody?
We don't really care.
Thank you. Good answer.
I like those girls. I like my girls. That's right.
Yep, you bet.
Oh,
I don't have my brown shirt on, so I guess you're okay.
That's awesome, girl.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Go ahead, Dave. Take notes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my good news, and Brian with me, we laughing because we drove down to the courthouse on today, actually, to drop off the corrected original complaint at the courthouse, and I just laughed because when we drove up, this is a federal building, when we drove up, we have two guards at outside of the courthouse standing on the steps. One has a face mask and gloves. The other officer, no face mask or gloves.
There's a contradiction for you.
So the rule is right now you're able to bring in your documents and leave them in the basket at the front desk, but you don't go through the security area. And so the gentleman was very nice. He opened the door for me. I had my package. I dropped it off. He opened the door for me to leave, and I left. And I'm like, look at this picture.
You should have taken a picture. Yeah.
I have to go back and take a picture of this.
Yeah, would you two gentlemen please stand side by side and face the camera, please? So everybody
cheese.
Can see the contrast.
And say cheese.
Yes.
And the funny thing, the woman was the one that was all covered up, and the gentleman was not. And I'm like, this is really sad. Really, really sad. But you're right.
Well, okay, you can tell who's scared.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And also, when I walk in the courthouse, the guards are standing on the opposite side of the detector, the metal detector, and he's standing there big with his mask on, his gloves, and he's waving at me, hi. And I go, bye.
Oh, boy. Jeez.
It was hilarious. But needless to say, we were very happy to say that we had put in the change for corrected original complaint, which I thought that was fabulous.
Good.
Mentioned that to us. And also now I also put in a electronic notification. And so that it also went through the system. So that is my good news. And that's hers. Thank you so much.
My good news is that on 5-9, we filed an opposition motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim, and they have to reply by 5-15. So I thought that was really quick. So I thought that was very good.
Interesting.
I got good news too, Dave, myself, but I forgot. So the ladies are done making us laugh. We'll do it. Yeah, they don't have much time at all. Yeah.
And that's the best medicine yet, laughter.
Yep.
That's right.
Straight out of Reader's Digest.
That's right.
And that's all we have. Actually, we don't have anything else for now. But we know we'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, we know you'll be back.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for some good chuckles and laughs tonight.
Oh,
yeah, we needed
pleasure.
That. We can all use them. Absolutely, girls.
All right, beautiful. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening.
And thank you.
And thank you. And continue to stay
thank
safe,
you, thank you,
healthy.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
So soon.
You guys take care. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, man.
All right, Dave. Let me discuss this real quick because it's something I forgot totally. To mention at the beginning of this case because I'm so sick on freaking COVID crap. I can't stand it anymore. But anyway, so Danny and I, my wife and I, made the very first petition to the Supreme Court of Florida under the new rule since it's been enacted in 2014. Nobody has taken this up. So
good for you.
This is an interesting, we just got our brief here.
Awesome.
And I want to just, I'm sorry, Terry?
I said awesome.
Yeah. So I'm just going to touch on this brief real quick. It's a brief on jurisdiction, blah, 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 blah. Statement of the case, Wilmington Savings Fund is not an individual capacity, but solely as trustee for a BCAT trust. Sued us for foreclosure. The trial court dismissed the second amended complaint because, like the original, first amended complaint were not verified by the claimant. The district court reversed. Rendition was delayed by a timely motion for rehearing, which was disposed of, and this petition follows. This is all of 4 pages long going to the Supreme Court of Florida. So you guys understand that you got to make it so short because they get so many requests that the chances of this actually getting heard by the Supreme Court to me is very slim to none. But it might be because it challenges, they're being challenged by a DCA, and this is the first time in all the history of the since the rule change in anybody, any district court has ever made a ruling on the new rule. So we got the first ruling, actually. They've all been PCA'd, which doesn't count, right? So we got that. And per curiam affirmed is what PCA means. So basically, they just agreed with the lower court. And what happened was our particular DCA, which is a district court of appeals, in two different cases, PCA'd, and they PCA'd in favor of the rule, and then they PCA'd against the rule. So we got them dead rights, right? We got them nuts. Like, okay, the PCAs don't mean much, but when you're PCAing opposites, now you're conflicting everybody. Does that make sense? So
yeah, absolutely.
The fact of the yeah, I mean, you, the same court's ruling in different on the same rule, completely different. So the facts of the case are taken from the appellate decision for which review is sought and to which a reference is made is DCA and AP. The appeal in this page number is signed by the lower court. And MM, which is just the page's number. Anyway, it's base stamp number in appendix. While the record may contradict some of these facts for the purpose of conflict jurisdiction, our gaze is limited to the challenged opinion. For the first time, a district court of appeal has considered the new Florida Rule Civil Procedure 115E. Wilmington Savings Fund, as a trustee for BCAT, filed a suit, blah, blah, blah. The complaint was verified by what we assume is an employee of New Penn Financial, DBA Shellpoint. The amended complaint was again verified by Shellpoint employee, DCA-2. The trial court dismissed. The second amended complaint was likewise verified and was likewise dismissed. The opinion below finds that Shellpoint is delegated authority from WSFIS. Summary of arguments. The governing question is whether when the court changed the rule as to verification of foreclosures, it intended to change it. See, this is where it might catch them. Prior to the change, verification by servicers was permitted, and that was the custom. The change required verification by the claimant. The decision below abrogates that requirement, thus conflicting with case or with rules, with the rules case. Prior to 2010, foreclosure claimants alleged all sorts of things, leading to waste of time and energy on part of the courts and the defendants alike. The court sought to – what's all that noise? Terry, block out your
I don't know.
I think it's you probably moving around. Yeah. Anyway.
It's not me.
The court – no? Well, somebody needs to block themselves out. The court sought to stem the tide by requiring verification. The commentary to the 2000 rule said that it was to encourage plaintiffs to ensure that their allegations or complaint were accurate. Initially, a few trial courts required the plaintiffs themselves to verify under the new rule. See Peckham, which is key, e.g. Peckham dismissing. The appeals court, however, were unanimous in reversing these, because the specifications that the plaintiff should verify was a comment rather than a rule. Okay, CUS Bank rejecting Fleetwood requirements of verifications with persons with knowledge. Can you imagine that? So the basically the district court said, we don't care if you have anybody that has any knowledge. We just want you to verify the complaint. So as a result, the flood of foreclosures verified by document execution specialists and authorized signers continue unabated. In response, this court changed the rule. It deleted the old Florida Rule Civil Procedure 110B, requirements of verification, added the new rule, 1.115E, requirement of verification by the claimant in 2014. In doing so, this court observed that the old rule did not specify who should verify. The new rule provides that the claim shall be verified by the claimant seeking to foreclose. We are here because the decision below expressly conflicts with the requirements set forth with the court's opinion. The opinion below relies largely on cases interpreting the old rule, citing Deutsche Bank, U.S. Bank, and Plageman, in explaining how things worked under the old rule. The district court then explains how there should be no change under the new rule, and so approves verification by an agency contrary to the new rule. So, you see, we're telling the Supreme Court that the 5th DCA disagrees with you and says, no, it doesn't matter what you say. So hopefully these are the little things to dig that get the clerks, because that's really who looks at all this crap, the law clerks, to say, hey, no, this has got to go. It's very short, very easy case. Let's just get it heard and be done with it. Anyway, and plus it's a – what do they call that, a case of new impression? Because it has never been brought up there. This is the first time since 14 when the rule was changed. So hopefully that might do it too. But anyway – Shellpoint, being a corporation, cannot directly exercise such authority. It has no eyes, no ears, and no hands. There is no discussion below as to what authority the actual signer may have had or whether the signer had authority for trustee WSFIS as opposed to the trust BCAT 2015-16TP. However, it is sufficient for conflict that the opinion below blesses the very procedure of verification by servicer signing specialist that was barred by the new rule. That's it. That's the whole entire brief going to the Supreme Court. We're just basically saying the 5th DCA blessed the old rule and basically said, to hell with you, this is the way it's going to be. So hopefully we catch your attention and we can win in the Supreme Court and change the law for the whole state of Florida. So that'll
be
the second time that if that happens, yes, that'll be the second time we've done this in 13 years with four or five different cases, but we've been up there twice. So, you know, if we can change and help families going forward and help, you know, stall these banks from screwing people, then hell, I'm all about it. You know that. I don't mind if it's like I tell. What do we tell people when they have original lenders with original notes? No assign. Say, hey, listen, just make a deal with them. You're not going anywhere, because that's not fake people. That's not fake papers. These are small banks. But when you're dealing with this trust and these corporations and all this crap and confusion, fraudulent paperwork, no, I'm not about letting everybody just steal people's homes. That's not good. That's just not good. So I'm done. That's my good news. We're going to Supreme Court, baby.
Bingo. How long do you think it takes them to make a decision on things down there?
Oh, hell, Supreme Court can say no in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, or it can say yeah, and it'll take a year.
Yeah, so let's hurry up and wait.
So, well, they're busy. I mean, they're busy. And especially with the corona crap, there's not a whole lot going on. And, you know, our local courts haven't even opened up yet. I mean, it's just it's crazy, man. I mean, it's crazy. So I don't care, Dan. You know, Danny and I are looking to move. You know that I told you this before. So, you know, it's all business for me. It's all business. I could care less. I'm just staying here as long as I possibly can. I made an offer to the bank. Pay me a whole pile of money and I'll move in 90 days. They haven't responded. So they want to come up with a pile of money. I'll just leave. I don't care about the Supreme Court. I'm gone. You know, the case will continue. I'm not going to give up. You know, even if I move, that particular argument is going to go to the Supreme Court, and it's going to go through, and that's that. I'm not going to give it up, you know. So I'm in no hurry for them to respond to me anyway.
Yeah.
So pretty funny stuff when you think about this.
Well,
so anyway,
it is just amazing the place we find ourselves in because, you know, I mean, dealing with a foreclosure situation there, and given what's happening here, as we've had a little bit of discussion already, but the situation with credit cards, I zipped a link to a story on CNBC to you guys today in email. CNBC is already talking about how the credit card companies are really going after people in the courts.
Right.
And you can bet, you know, as people start to default, it's going to take some time for this stuff to roll through the system, through the time periods, you know, to get to charge off state and everything else. But there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to get screwed on their credit cards, on foreclosures and everything else through no fault of their own because of all this BS with this pandemic. Actually, it's a plandemic, and that's another thing. Everybody, you might want, if you want to learn some things, go to plandemic. That's PLANDEMIC movie.com, and go watch the video there and register so you get additional information. Plandemic.com. You'll learn a little bit more of the truth of what's going on and who the players are. So, anyway, we have another caller with a hand up, and I'm going to tell everybody, if you've got a question for us, now is the time to put your hand up. Hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. You know, we'll take stupid lawyer moments, good news, questions, but when we're out of callers, we're out of here. So plan accordingly. And we're going to go to 832. You're unmuted for your comment, question, or whatever you got for us.
Yes, hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes,
we got you loud and clear.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you. My name's Lornell, and I want to say hi to Dave, Jesse, and I didn't get the other nice lady's name.
That's Terry. We've also got John and Larry on here as well. We got moderators up the yazoo tonight.
Great. Good. First time calling and listening to the conference call. I had a question. I've been listening to Jesse and Dave, some of the things that you guys put out there, and I went to What Lies in Your Mortgage and sent in my information for a securitization audit, and I wanted to know if that's still the right way to get started to see if I may have something to pursue with my mortgages.
Yeah, that is. If that's for securitization, yes, but there's still a million other things that they violate. So, you know, that's just one avenue. Like, I've never used an audit on any of my cases, and I've never lost a case. You know, so there's just a many, many ways to go about it. It's not necessarily just that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. Could you walk me through just a highlight, brief summary on start to dealing with your lender if there's some funny business with your mortgage or
every situation is different. Everyone's okay. Different. You have to be able to analyze the whole situation, and that's where your starting point is. So is there, is the allonge kind of messed up? Is there blank allonges? Who signed that allonge? And you got to start tracing people's names. I mean, Google becomes your best friend at that point. As much as I hate how they spy on everybody, they spy on everybody. So everybody's name is there, so I start looking for names. That's where I always start. I grab any assignment. I grab allonges. Anything that anybody has signed, I start digging up all the dirt on those people. And trust me, you're going to find a pile of it. And then that gives you a direction on where to go. You know, then you can send, John had mentioned, a qualified written request to go out. There's a shorter version. I don't know what. I remember him saying something about 2 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly what it was. But regardless, that's always a good way. Once you find what you think you're going to find, you can start with a qualified written request, and that'll get you some, questions asked or answered that you ask. So there's a lot of ways, but every single case is a little different. There's not one or two that are the same. There really isn't.
Okay. Yeah, I have mortgages with Chase Bank, and I'm just imagining just because it's one of the bigger banks that they're one of those ones that
how old are they?
Up and they are about 4 years old.
Yeah, they didn't do that funny business as much 4 years ago as they do nowadays, or as they did years ago, Most of the really, really, really bad mortgages were done in the middle 2000s to late 2000s.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the main question. It sounds like the best thing to do, maybe, from what you're saying, Jesse, is to just go ahead and become a member, dive in.
Oh, I thought you were. No, that's where, you would know step by step. Yeah, it's all in there.
All right.
It'll walk you through all the different scenarios and, how to get in there and do your thing. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
And there's information there in the webinar section that tells you how to use the website.
Exactly.
Okay. Please look at that first.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's all the questions I have for tonight. I'm just getting started on the journey, trying to understand what's going on with my mortgages. So thank you for the information.
Sure.
Well,
you're very welcome, and welcome to
more.
The group.
Yeah, welcome. There's going to be a bunch more coming our way, I promise you.
Oh, boy.
We're
going to
have
a tsunami
doubt.
Of people.
I have no doubt.
Yep.
I've never done any marketing. You know that, Dave. Never, ever have I done any marketing for What Lies in Your Debt.
Yeah.
But I'm going to this year. You bet your butt I'm going to.
Yeah. Well, it's
people
just
have
a matter
to find
of
out.
Letting people know that we're here, that there is help
That's
out
right.
here.
Yeah. And I guess my situation, I didn't mention this. Mine is not a foreclosure. This would be more of a preemptive search on what's going on. So is that just because I'm not in foreclosure, does that also make me a candidate to use some of your protocols and your processes as well?
Oh, absolutely. You're better off than most people.
Yeah.
See, you prepare. See, that's the whole deal. You want to prepare, and that's what most people don't do. So, they know that it's going to hit the fan, okay? And at the end of the day, they're not ready. See, that's
well,
the deal, man.
They
you
wait.
Be ready.
Yeah, they wait. And hoping something isn't going to happen. And then all of a sudden there they are, the deer in the headlights. Oh, my God, what am I going to do now? I should have been educating myself. Well, you know, if you've got a situation where maybe potentially something might happen in 6 months or a year or whatever, that gives you 6 months to a year to get ahead of the curve instead of ending up behind the eight ball as far as education goes. So we definitely are
exactly.
Suggest people be proactive instead of reactive.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much for your answers and your help.
Yep, sure, you're very welcome. And, you know, Jesse, I realized something. I was thinking about something today. Do you realize it was 9 years ago this week that we hooked up and started working on this stuff together?
Are you kidding me?
No, I guess it was last week. It was last week.
I don't remember,
but,
that. I remember I hunted
you
down.
Yeah,
it was April of
2011. And by June, I had filed 6 lawsuits already.
Yeah. Yeah, I got
and in the intervening years,
yeah.
I'm over 100. My own personal.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Crazy.
So listen, I'm going to tell you guys something that you guys can chuckle. Hold on, Dave. I want to bring this up because I don't know if you saw the news today. So the U.S. Federal Reserve is buying, hear me now, you're ready to hear this? ETFs.
Yep.
Backed by what, Dave? Bitcoin.
What do you mean backed by? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my
They're backed
God,
by.
I want to die
well, I hope.
Today. You know, I said these bastards have been just criminalizing Bitcoin for 10 years, and now they see, oh my God, I better run over there. I'm sorry, that was so funny. I meant to tell you earlier today, call you personally, but I had to let you know.
Yeah,
I did
see that. Yeah, yeah,
ain't that some
I
crap?
Did see that, and. And, you know, they haven't been buying any junk bonds yet, but they're right in line to start buying junk bonds, too. You know, now,
right?
Just by their
yeah.
nature, by their name, what do you think a junk bond is?
I don't,
oh,
yeah.
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. United Airlines was tried to sell a bunch of junk bonds last week. Nobody would
oh,
buy them.
Jesus
Here
Christ.
We go. Yeah, they tried to sell a bunch of junk bonds to get some money, and the buyers balked. They said, no thanks. Okay. And we're early in the stages. You guys, can you imagine what 6 months is going to look like from now? Woo.
No, I mean, you want to know, man.
Yeah. Well, it ain't going to be pretty. But anyway, we have another caller, and we're going to go to 816, I think. I'm trying. There we go.
Yeah.
816, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Michelle. When these recordings go, like this recording tonight, will be on the website, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean,
ma'am.
It may not be
yeah.
on the website tonight, but it'll be on the website, right?
Yes. They'll also be on
okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
And I get to that place by going through the website?
No, blogtalkradio.com. You can go to there and listen to it there, or you can go to whatliesinyourdebt.com and listen to them there.
Okay, whether somebody's a member or not. Now, I'm a member.
Correct.
But
yeah, but no, it doesn't
else.
Matter. It's open to everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you also, Jesse, said you're going to be marketing. What form is that going to take?
I don't know yet. I'm thinking through social media. I'm going to have to just market it through social media, Instagram, Facebook, because that's what everybody's looking at. They got their face stuck in their phones.
Right.
You know, and if you need help, I mean, that's the way we're doing it. Gary and I are rebuilding some things and changing some pricing structure. As much as we want to give it for free, nobody appreciates anything for free. We learned this 12 years ago. You know, you have to charge for somebody to actually use it. It's crazy the way humans work. But so we're redoing some things, getting away from ClickBank, you know, just trying to do our thing and get it out there, you know, but that's 30, 40 days away. But it's going to happen, and it's going to be all over the place. I'm actually going to hire a marketing company to do it.
Are you going to do anything like ClickBank does affiliate stuff? Are you going to?
Not anymore, because the affiliates were a joke. That's why we didn't do it anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay. And
yeah, it's
my
a
last
joke.
One. What happened that it was a joke that you had affiliates? I don't get that.
They didn't do their jobs. Is what's the point in having affiliates?
Oh.
You have to jack your prices higher so you can cover your affiliates, and they don't do anything for you anyway.
Okay. Okay.
So it's
and
not worth it.
So,
I'd rather lower the price and just direct market and be done with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I do. And the other thing is I need on – I went a different direction on after the what happened with my illegal foreclosure. And I have mentioned this at another time, but now I'm realizing I'm supposed to advertise – the complaint for 4 consecutive weeks in a publication. I looked a lot. I looked at Kansas City Star. There used to be a legal publication locally, but I'm not finding that. Any clues how I find where to publish the complaint for 4 consecutive weeks?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. What makes you think you have to advertise a complaint?
Do you know who John J. Singleton is?
No.
Probably not. Okay, that's fine. I ask because they were talking on the blog, on his blog, on Skype, and I know him. I've known him for a couple of years now, and he's very knowledgeable in a lot of things in a different way than you all are, than what Lies in Your Debt are. And they were talking about this COVID thing, and he was saying you need to do a complaint and actually downloaded the forms for people to go after their governors for shutting the states down for this COVID thing.
Yes.
And it gave me the idea to ask, okay, I have this quo warranto complaint regarding this document. I actually got it filed in the court that did the foreclosure on me. The court clerk didn't do it, but her supervisor did. And that is when you heard me say at other times I've been on the call that is when they tore the house down, everything, down to the ground, because they were so pissed off. Okay, then I asked on John's blog about my court warranto complaint. He said, since you've already filed the complaint in with the clerk of the court, actually her supervisor, then you have to publish that complaint in the legal section for 4 weeks. Well, it's a very long complaint. It's like 23 pages. And I can't find a legal place, I mean, you know, anywhere to publish something, a legal document. And I didn't know, with all of you all's combined experience, if you knew how that can happen, if I can just do it electronically through the Kansas City Star, or because, you know, and that would take up the whole damn paper, 23 pages, unless I did it and, you know, where you had to use a microscope to read it.
I don't know of anything that requires you to advertise a complaint.
I don't either. I've never
that's
heard
my
of this
that's my my
okay.
only comment on this. I have no knowledge of anything like that whatsoever in all the stuff I've done.
I have to echo what Dave said and Jesse too. However, I just want to point one little thing out. Obviously, there is a big difference between the approach that this gentleman you're talking about is taking with things and the approach that we take with things, which is to play in their sports arena with their sports equipment by their rules, and we are better athletes and armed to the teeth with plenty of axes to take them down in their own game. Now, what this gentleman is doing is way different from what we are. But if you feel that you need to follow that advice to publish, I would think that if you publish a link, an actual link where the public can go, just like the government does all the time. We get emails with links to go to whitehouse.gov to read an executive order, or like the Horowitz report, and so on and so forth. Obviously, it's legal. The whole document is legal, and it is available online. They don't publish the whole document. Sometimes they're 6,000-7,000 pages long, but they publish a link for anyone in the public to follow the link and read the document. And I should think that that would suffice.
Yes. I knew that somebody would come up with, didn't even think about it. I mean, I send YouTube links to people just like the things you've been talking about since the beginning of the call. I mean, you just send a link to somebody and they get, like that Silent Weapon for Quiet Wars. That's just a link, and people can go read that. Just like I told Jesse on one of the other calls, that Iron Mountain report, you can just Google that. So that is superlative. I mean, I knew there was something my mind was not catching, and that's exactly what I needed. Thank you so much. I will do that. Okay. That's all I wanted. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you. All right. And, you know, Jesse, I'm looking at the board, and I don't see any other hands up. So one more time, this is the last call. You better do it quick. If you've got a question or a comment, you got about 5 seconds to hit the one key on your phone, or we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight, and I've got some other work I need to do. I need to make a few more notes on the webinar I'm going to do tomorrow. So tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to be doing the webinar at 3 o'clock, and it's titled Back to Basics for Newbies, Part 1. And that'll be a two-part webinar series, and obviously, if that's Part 1. And we're going to go back because we do anticipate having a lot of new people coming in that aren't used to using the court, so on and so forth. And I thought this would be a timely situation to fall into to start giving some guidelines to people that don't have the experience and give them a little bit of direction on what some of the things they need to do before they really dive in and possibly get themselves in trouble because they don't understand things. So anyway, I will be doing that at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. Terry will be doing her call on Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. And if you are not on Terry's email list, you want to send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. And all you got to do is put, please put me on the list in the subject line. And she'll send you the information for the call, and she'll put you on her list. She doesn't send it out all the time. You get it one time. Make sure you write it in your book where you keep important information so that you have it going forward. But then After that, it's going to be, well, we got an e-water call next Monday night, and then the next call on Tuesday night will be on May 26th, 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes, it will.
So
that's
a recap on – what's that?
That's on my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Right, Terry. Happy birthday, that's right. That way we don't forget,
yep.
You're covered. Happy birthday, Terry.
Yep.
Thank you.
So
I hope I'm done moving by then.
Yeah, we hope you're done moving too. So hopefully you can get things done. The weather will cooperate for you in getting that stuff done. But it's great that you got another couple 2 weeks plus to get that stuff done.
Well, I should point out to everyone that in the transition, it's no different than other times I've had to move. There inevitably will be a week, possibly two, that I won't have a call on Thursday because I won't have any internet.
Yeah, well, you're moving.
I don't know how that's going to play out yet. I am crossing my fingers and hoping to hell I can get rid of HughesNet and get something decent over there, but I don't know yet.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you so you can get away from the maybe it's on, maybe it's off Hughes satellite.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, I hope everybody has a great Memorial Day, because we won't be back until the day after Memorial Day.
That's right. We're gone, buddy.
So, anyway, Jesse, leave it to you to wrap it up.
Oh, just thanks for joining us, guys. I know this call was short tonight. It's actually been the first short call we've had in 3 weeks, or three calls, because they've all gone past 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So
yeah,
mine a bit.
It's actually
ridiculous.
Nice for a change. Yeah, right. So I gotta be up at 6 tomorrow. So I just want to tell everybody, thank you for joining us. God bless everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Dave's webinar. Don't forget that. That's it.
Good night,
Dave.
All.
Again, thanks again for all you do, buddy.
Good
appreciate
night.
You, man.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night. Check your emails, guys.
Good night, everybody.
All righty, guys.